Up and take your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 7, please. Matthew chapter 7. May 28th is going to be a very busy day in our church. That's the day that, as Pastor Jesse mentioned, Peter and Kendra will be getting married, and they've asked me to announce that if there's anybody in our church that would like to attend the ceremony, it's at 2 o'clock that day, Saturday the 28th, you are welcome to come to that. We're going to have about 120 people here, so it's going to be a packed house. So we may be using the balcony, who knows, but that's a good reason for it. Okay. All right. Let's all stand together and have a word of prayer together. Father in heaven, we bow before you today, and I thank you for the privilege I have today, not only to preach this message today on a parent's greatest responsibility, but also, Lord, have the honor of officiating the dedication of three children from two sets of parents that are very special in our church. Lord, I ask and pray that the Holy Spirit would guide, direct, and empower this message. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Whenever I get to speaking lately, I've been bringing messages along the lines of prayer, because I believe that's our lifeline to God. And I'd like to deliver the message in the context of children. Prayer in the context of children, having children. And I shared before that nothing will put you on your knees like children or having children. I can't imagine parenting without the advice of a supernatural counselor. Somebody asked how far apart children should be spaced. The answer is about a mile and a half. But they're wonderful. Being a parent means that you're going to go to your knees in prayer, which, by the way, is a parent's greatest responsibility. Now, Jesus gave us some advice here today. Matthew chapter 7. I'll read out loud as you read silently. Jesus said, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives, he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good gifts to them that ask him?" The three key words in this passage are ask, seek, and knock. Now, Jesus is not giving us three recommendations. What he's giving us today are three promises. And we need to learn how to pray, especially when it comes to our children. You know, ask, seek, knock. That's going to be the message today, but the purpose of the message is to not stop praying, ever. Keep on praying. You know, asking relates to our heartfelt desire, our heartfelt request. You know, if God promises to answer, then why are our prayers so often unanswered? Now, you know what I've come to know, consider bedrock? Is the greatest problem we face is not unanswered prayer. The greatest problem we face is unoffered prayer. Jesus said, if we are to ask, that we shall, it shall be given to us. The brother of Jesus, James, who wrote the epistle of James, weighs in on this. He says in James chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members?" You know, the reason we can't get along with each other is because we can't get along with ourselves. Because there's a war that happens within our own our members. He says and goes on to say, "You lust and do not have, you murder and covet and cannot obtain, You fight in war, yet you do not have because you do not what? You do not ask. You see, God knows how many blessings that could be had if we'd only just simply ask for them. Unoffered prayer is a tragedy. But not only is it a tragedy, it is a sin if we fail to pray. I love this verse in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 23, where Samuel, who's the prophet of Israel, says to the people of Israel, he says, "Moreover, as for me," he said, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. You see, God does just not invite us to pray. He commands us to pray. In Luke chapter 18, verse 1, Jesus said, "Men ought always to pray and not to faint." You know, again, he's saying, don't quit. You stop praying, you'll faint. Mark chapter 14, verse 38, Jesus says, "Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation." He said, "The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And I believe he's warning us. He's giving us a warning and saying, you know what? If you don't put your guard up, if you don't recognize that we have spiritual warfare that you and I are entangled in and engaged in, if we don't guard our hearts, if we don't watch, if we're not vigilant about this, if we don't pray, he said, we're posturing ourselves for failure. Paul weighs in on it when he's writing this in prison, by the way. He says this in Philippians 4, 6. He says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto" who? Unto God. You see, friends, there is no substitute for prayer. No substitute for prayer. Especially when it comes to our children. It takes work to raise children. The greatest work involved in raising children is our work in praying for them. You know, there is no substitute, I say. You know what? You can have a bad heart. Guess what? There's a possibility you can get a heart transplant. You may have a bad liver. You might even be able to get a liver transplant. You may lose a limb in an accident. You know, there's a possibility they can do a prosthesis and give you an artificial limb. But there is no substitute for prayer. So the question's raised, why is there such spiritual poverty today? Why is our nation going into apostasy? You can sum it up in one word, prayerlessness. Prayerlessness. Have you ever wondered why God asks us to pray? He says, "Ask, and it shall be given to you." You know, why even ask? You know, he already knows our needs. Right? Actually, if you look at Matthew 6, the chapter before that, verses 7 and 8, he says, "And when you pray, do not use vain repetition as the heathen do, for they think they will be heard by their many words." He says, "Therefore, do not be like them." And notice he says, "For your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask Him." Before you even pray a word, before you even pray one word, he already knows what you're going to pray about. He already knows what your need is. Yet in Matthew 7, 7, he says, "Ask." Why does he want us to pray? Well, there's a number of reasons why he doesn't ask. There's a number of reasons why we shouldn't pray. We're not to pray to impress God. Amen? You know, just like he said in Matthew 6, he says, "Don't be like the heathen, pray in vain repetition." They do it for outward reasons. They do it for their own self-elevation, exaltation. You know, don't be like that. You know, your prayers don't impress me. We're not praying to impress God. You know, we're not praying to inform God. But we're to pray to invite God. We're to pray to invite God. And I want to give you briefly today some reasons why we ought to pray, I believe. Why you and I ought to pray and make that a practice that is continual. It's something even in the darkest of days, in most discouraging times, we'll never give up on it. Never give up on it. So why are we to pray? Why are we to ask? Number one is what I call the fellowship factor. The fellowship factor. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1, it says, "We then, as workers together with him, also plead with you to receive the grace of God in vain." It says here in the Word of God in 2 Corinthians that we're workers together with him. I mean, side by side, we're working with him. Side by side, he wants to work with us. You know, I like what it says in 1 John chapter 1. It says, "If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another." He's not talking about you and I having fellowship. He's talking about you having fellowship with him. You know, why do we pray? For the fellowship factor. He wants to commune with us. The second reason is the development factor. Do you know that God wants you to grow to know him better? He wants you to grow spiritually. You know, the mission of our church is to turn people into fully developed followers of Christ. That's our mission as Berean Baptists. You know, turning people into fully developed followers of Christ. Well, how do we do that? What's the plan? Is it just to come here on Sunday morning and hear a sermon? No. No, we want to get you in the Word of God and establish you in the Word of God. We want to disciple, we want to train you, we want to teach you the Word of God, which we have going on in our church today. By the way, and we want to better equip you by bringing you into Faith Bible Institute so you can get a grasp, a great knowledge of the Word of God. By the way, they're college courses that we teach right in our church. We just finished up our fifth semester. We're going into that elective I mentioned to you on scientific creationism, which starts this Tuesday. And please see me if you'd like to attend that. But there's that development factor. How does that happen? Well, it happens by knowing God and also praying to God. Jesus said in John 15:7, he said, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will. It shall be done unto you." Sounds like God's really hip on answering our prayers when we abide in him. God wants me to abide in him and gain strength through him. And you know what's really interesting? When he says those three words, to ask, to seek, and to knock, in the Greek language, it's used in the, it's what's called the present continual tense. The present continual tense. In other words, he wants us to keep on asking and keep on seeking and keep on knocking. Hey, we keep on growing and developing when we keep on doing these things and we don't stop. Regardless of what hand we're dealt, we don't stop praying. We don't give up on God. It's like Peter said, "Where else can we go? You have the words of eternal life, Jesus." You know, sometimes we ask God and he doesn't give it to us right away. I believe that many times God doesn't answer because he's testing my faith and your faith to see if you and I will still stay with the program. We'll still trust him in the dark. Maybe you can relate to this. A boy likes a girl, and a boy wants to date this girl. So he tries to make himself presentable to this girl, and he approaches this girl, and he asks her if she would like to go out, and she says, "Not now." And then he asks again, and she says, "Not now" again. So this boy says, "I really like this girl, and she's rejected me twice." So you know what? He starts to take some personal inventory, right? Maybe I'm not just dressed well enough. You know, maybe my manners aren't what they ought to be. Maybe I have body odor, you know? Maybe there's something wrong. Maybe there's a reason. So you know what? He changes his attire. He takes a bath. You know, he combs his hair. Then he approaches her the next time and he said, "Are you still going to say no, or would you please go out with me?" She says, "Yes." You know why? Because he took some personal inventory. You know, likewise, you know, if God is going to answer our prayers, I believe this. I believe he first wants us to do some spiritual inventory. Is my heart right with him? Is my walk right with him? Maybe, you know what, and I'll tell you what, God's more prone to answer us when we're in the obedience mode. Amen? When God says no or wait, it causes us to do spiritual inventory. You see, we have the fellowship factor when we ask. We grow spiritually with God when we ask. And the thirdly, there's the dependence factor. God does not want us to trust in ourselves, but rather put our faith in him. He says in Hebrews 11:6, he says, "Without faith, it's impossible to please him." You know, asking God for what we need ought to be as natural as breathing to you and I. And what's really important in the matter of prayer is there's nothing too small to pray about, and there's nothing too big to pray about. I love that song, "His Eye is on the Sparrow." You know, God, you know, you read Matthew 6. I mean, Jesus has his eye on the birds and the squirrels. He says, "Hey, you know what? Don't be anxious." He says, "They aren't worried about a thing." You know, did you ever see a squirrel fall out of a tree because he had an anxiety attack over not getting a nut? No, you know why? He knows it's going to be there for him. God cares about the big things. He cares about the small things. He cares about the medium things. The Bible says, "Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Be anxious for nothing, but everything through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your petitions, let your requests, that's asking, seeking, knocking, let your requests be made known unto God." So why should we pray? Number one, help me out. Number one is the fellowship factor. Number two is the growth factor, or the development factor. Number three is the dependency factor. Remember, the greatest problem we face is not unanswered prayer, but it's unoffered prayer. Unoffered prayer. You see, one thing I'm positive about is the devil cannot keep God from answering prayer. But what he can do, he can discourage us from asking. You see, asking relates to our heartfelt desires. Seeking, however, relates to our needful direction. You know, sometimes we don't know what to ask for. We need direction. Hey, how many of you pray when you ask the Holy Spirit to guide you, to lead you, to show you? I mean, it's so necessary for you and I to seek the guidance of the Holy Spirit. That's why he says, "Seek, and you shall find." You see, asking relates to our heartfelt desires. Seeking relates to our needful direction. But I want to say this, that asking and seeking are directly linked together. You see, I need to seek God. I saw his face last night. I saw his face this morning. I went before him. Man, I got to hear from him. I want him. I want to know him so well, I know exactly what he wants me to say to you. That's how well I'd like to know him. I need to seek his face. You know, James even alludes to this. If you look at James 4:3, he says, "You ask and do not receive, because you ask amiss, that you may spend it upon your pleasures." Hey, you know, it's important we ask God for the right thing, not the wrong thing. What's often great about God is that he won't give us the wrong thing. He'll say no. You see, it's okay to ask for our personal needs, but not our selfish needs. What should you and I be seeking for when we pray to God? Always, we need to pray for three things. Number one, we always need to pray for the will of God. Amen? Always the will of God. If this is your will, Lord. Number two, we need to pray for the purpose of God. Lord, what do you want to accomplish? I even prayed that prayer today. Lord, what do you want to accomplish in this sermon today? Well, I want you to make it clear to the people at Berean that are attending today that I not only want them to pray, but I don't want them to stop. Keep on praying. That's the text. Not only are we praying for the will of God and the purpose of God, we're praying for the presence of God. Now, I know the Holy Spirit lives within us, but we want that special presence. You know, like when Moses went up on Mount Sinai and the cloud was there. You know, James alludes to this in James chapter 4. He says in verse 8, he says, "Therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God," that's his presence, "and he will" what? "He will draw near to you." It might be that God's presence is the very thing you need to see. Hey, when you're praying, and there's so many distractions we have. That's why he says go in the closet. Turn the telephone off. Turn the radio off. Turn the TV off. And just let it be you and God, period. Nobody else around you. But when you're praying and you know you've met with God, and you know with all your heart, and you sense it in your spirit that you're praying in the will of God, you're praying for the purpose of God, and you're sensing the almighty presence of God, you know what you need now? Is you need the dynamite power of God. The dynamite power of God. James also weighs in on that. He says in James 5:16, he says, "Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed." I think there's a little bit of power there, amen? He says, "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails something." Much. No, it avails much. You see, asking relates to heartfelt desires. Seeking relates to our needful direction from the Holy Spirit. But knocking relates to direction explored. Now that I know his direction, now that I have given him my request, I need to explore. Now, direction explorers means there may be some closed doors. By the way, when you pray and God closes the door, you ought to rejoice just as much as when God opens the door. You know why? Because God's maybe keeping you from something he does not want you to experience when he closes that door. Hey, look at it. If we're really surrendered, if we're truly surrendered to him, no matter what the outcome might be, then, you know, would you agree he knows what's best for us? Amen. He knows what's best for you and me. Knocking is direction explored. There's going to be closed doors. And by the way, sometimes we might experience barriers. I mean, we may not get what we want immediately because there's barriers you and I have to hurdle. There's work we have to do. He doesn't want many of the great things God has for us, we got to really work for. Praise God, it's not salvation. That's free. Amen? That is absolutely free. You don't have to work for that. Jesus did all the work for us. But Satan is faithful to put up barriers when he has something. I remember when God called me to preach and we came here to Gilliland Center and we were looking for a place to say, man, I'll tell you what, we didn't find this place right away. You know, we weren't able to buy it right away. No, a lot of barriers we went through. A lot of hurdles to go over. You know, I think of Daniel chapter 10, verse 13. I mean, Daniel, by the way, I think maybe next to Moses, the greatest, if not the greatest prophet in the Old Testament. I mean, we wouldn't have the book of Revelation if we didn't have the prophet Daniel with the book of Daniel. And by the way, before God gave him the revelations that he was going to unfold to us, I want you to see the barriers that that Daniel had to hurdle. It says in verse 13, it says, "But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, but lo, Michael, one of the chief priests, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia." You see, 21 days, aren't you glad that Daniel did not throw in the towel after the first day or after the second day? By the way, he had some assistants. You know, Michael, the great archangel, I mean, God sends some angels. We have the Holy Spirit. God also assigned some angels to us when we're on a quest to do something mighty and great for him. Daniel did not stop, but he kept on knocking until Satan was a non-issue and God was able to give him the vision for the last days. When you have asked God and you have sought the face of God for the answer, even when the heavens feel like brass, keep on praying. Keep on praying. Keep on praying till light breaks through. Keep on seeking and start knocking. Knocking is direction explored. Keep on knocking until either the door is opened or God has a better path. You know, God really answers us differently. Sometimes the answer is direct. We get exactly what we pray for. Sometimes He redirects our paths. He gives us a better path. And sometimes the request that we pray for is denied. He just says no. So you know what? Sometimes our requests are direct. Sometimes they're denied. And other times they're just delayed. But don't quit praying. You know, Jesus not only tells us to continue to pray, but he also put that in the heart of his disciples. Look what Paul wrote in Colossians 4, verses 2 through 4. He says, continue. First word, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. And then, I don't know why he says this, meanwhile praying. Meanwhile praying also for us, that God would open to us a door for the word, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. If you'll take a look at on the screen, Luke chapter 11, verses 5 through 10, it says, "And he said to them, which of you have a friend, and go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine who has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he answers from within and says, 'Do not trouble me. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened. For everyone who asks receives, and for him that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it will be opened." Man, I'll tell you what, I am so glad. I'm so glad that Jesus gave us this parable. Because this parable perfectly illustrates what I'm preaching about, and that's continuing in prayer. I think we need to know a little bit of the backdrop here. In Bible times, there were no motels. There were no convenient marks. And one of the greatest sins back in that day was failure to show hospitality to even a stranger many times. But here's a friend. He's on his journey and he stops at a friend's house. And he says, "You know what? I have no place to stay. Do you mind if I hang my hat here tonight?" He says, "Come on in." So he comes in. He says, "Did you eat?" He says, "No." He goes to his wife. He says, "Honey," he said, "can you bring something out for this fella?" She says, "Honey, we have nothing in the refrigerator, nothing in the cupboards." So you know what he does? He goes next door to his neighbor. He knocks on the door. Guy opens the door. He says, "Can I ask a big favor for you? I've got a friend of mine hasn't eaten." He says, "Would you please give me three loaves of bread. Just lend them to me. I'll pay you back. And the guy is obstinate. He said, my kids are in bed. Can't you hear the dogs barking? And maybe tomorrow he can eat. Closes the door. Guy starts knocking again. Same thing all over again. Knocks again. And the guy just got fed up with him. I mean, he was on the verge of calling the police and getting a restraining order. You know? Now, he answered his prayer. And he gave him what he wanted. But you know why he gave it to him? Because Jesus says, because of his persistence. And not only because of his persistence, but because of his determination. He says, Jesus said, ask and keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. He's not saying that God is like the neighbor who refused his friend for some bread. But what he's saying and he's asking is much like knocking on the door. And, you know, he just says, keep on coming. Keep on coming to me until you get a clear and sure word from me. You know, sometimes God closes the door. And sometimes God just tells you in your heart, the answer's no. Are you with me? He just tells you in your heart, the answer's no. And when he tells you in your heart, the answer's no, then by faith we have to receive it and accept it. And we have to work against and fight against the resistance of our emotions that were so wanting that thing, so desiring that thing. And sometimes it's a lonely road to accept that thing which we dearly want. But we have to land on faith and believe that God knows what's best for us. You know what? And I'm going to close with this illustration. He says, praying is often like a parent giving his children something they have need of. He says in Luke chapter 11, verses 11 and 12, he says, if a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If then you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? You know, today we have two sets of parents bringing their children to be dedicated to the Lord. And you know what? God says, hey, when it comes to prayer, think of you parents. Think about how much you love your kids. And think about how meaningful they are to you. Think about how lonely and how hard it would be to have life without them. Think about when they have a need, what you will do and how much you will bend backwards to meet that need in their life. He says, my desire is the same as yours. My desire is the same as yours. And I want to close with this thought. God wants us to pray. That's pretty evident. But why is it it's one of the most difficult things for us to engage in our Christian life? We don't dedicate time to it. We kind of brush it off. You know why? Because Satan is successful in his scheme, in his objective of keep us from praying. You know why? He can't stop God from answering. And remember, the greatest problem we have in the world, in Christianity today, is not unanswered prayer. It's unoffered prayer. Let's bow our heads for prayer. And I'd like the parents, if they would come to the front. Father in heaven, I just come before you today and I pray for the ones that are here today, Lord, that have special needs, special burdens, special trials. Oh God, you know the hearts and the needs of each and every one that's here today, Lord. And maybe they've been somewhat remiss and negligent to pray. But Lord, your word is so crystal clear. We can't hide from it. We can't run from it. And Lord, we don't want to. We want to run to it, not from it. And Lord, I pray for those that have special needs today, Lord. I pray that today would be a day of rededication of people's hearts and lives to the Lord Jesus today. That they might give themselves fully and wholly to him today, Lord. And I pray for their special needs. And that, Lord, that you would turn Berean Baptist Church into a church and family of prayer warriors, fully dedicated to doing the will of God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.